This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Wednesday edition of Primetime here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown and Mike Somich here for the next 4 hours. Happy New Year to everybody out there. It's a new year in Europe already, right? Yeah. Happy New Year to all European listeners.
The timeline.
Yeah, it's 2026. You're listening to us in the future right now. So appreciate you guys being here with us. Of course, we will run through each and every NFL game like we normally do. We will give our thoughts on what is a very confusing and difficult week to bet the NFL, but maybe we can find some edges here along the way. Of course, half an hour from now, we'll be kicking off another college football playoff game in which I actually have a bet in. Do you, Mike Somich?
Ooh, yeah, I bet this one too. All right. Didn't bet it like I'm pounding the table betting it.
No,
I bet it like I'm going to be doing a show with Matt Brown and I kind of wanted to have a little money on it.
Yeah, let's have some, we'll have like some fun there with that one, mainly then more than anything else. We'll talk about that one here momentarily. We will also get to our betting New Year's resolutions. I'll give you an update on some of mine from 2025 and kind of give you an idea of what I was looking to do and what I'll be looking to do as we head in 2026. Same with Mike. We'll get to our power ratings as well. I'll be curious to see yours. It is the hardest thing for me to do each and every week is to not glance down the rundown and go down and see. I'm sure you were laughing at mine somewhere along the way. So we'll see a little bit about that. And then Ryan McIntyre will join us. Greg Peterson will join us. John McKechnie will join us. Also Brandon Kravitz will join us as well. So we have a great guest list as well. Mike Somich, we roll on here with college football with Miami and Ohio State. This is a game in which I think most people seem to be solidly on one side or the other as to where this line should be or shouldn't be or whatever. But I can tell you right now, there's been a lot of Miami love here as of late as we are down to 7.5, 8. This thing got as high as 10. 40.5 is the prevailing total.
Yeah, this was up at 10 just 2 days ago. You can find 7.5s out there that are juiced toward the Miami side. I would be shocked if we hit a flat 7 before kickoff, but we have definitely trended in that direction since Tuesday here, and this has just been a consistent flow of Miami money since hitting that 10 number. I kind of wanted Miami at 10. I'm not sure I want Miami at 7.5. I mean, that is a big 2.5-point move here, especially 10 an important number, 8 an important number as well. The total has kind of been dropping a little bit as we've seen this get closer. More belief that Miami's offensive line and defensive line are going to be able to control part of these games. I buy into that more than I do that Miami is going to be able to move the football consistently and stay in this football game. So I like the first half under. You can get a 20.5 out there at -110. So that's how I decided to get a little bit of action in this game. I'm interested to hear how you decided to attack this one.
Yeah. So again, this is one of those, I live in a Circa sports market. Circa had 10s up a long time. Like Circa had 10 up until I think yesterday morning, like mid morning or something like that. They get enough action where they don't move quite as quick as a lot of other people do on these things. They need a big bet or an influential bet, and obviously they got some. They're down to 8, so this is a 2-point move in the last, let's call it 36, 48 hours, something like that from them. But they had a 10 up forever, and it just kept sitting there, and it kept sitting there in front of me, Mike, and I'm like, okay, if we're looking at a game with a low total, if we respect both of these defenses, I have to take the 10 just off of principle here. Do I not? And like, you do have a little bit with the whole Carson Beck has played in big time games before. And honestly, if he can protect the ball, I don't think that Miami is going to get run out of the stadium. I mean, if you look at it, their two losses is when he had, 6 picks. He had like 6 interceptions in their two losses. Right. I mean, like it's a very correlated deal to him protecting the ball and them being able to play well. And so I took the 10 and, you know, again, I guess I'm on the right side. I don't know. We'll see how it all, where this thing ultimately kicks. I mean, we still have half an hour. It's an island game. People are going to be betting this before they head out for the evening or watching it and then going out for the evening, whatever it is, depending on what coast you're on and all of that. And so, and as I say that, MGM goes to 8.5. So a full point jump as money comes in on Ohio State, literally as we're sitting here, goes straight from 7.5 to 8.5 at MGM.
Yeah, we saw a couple other books just move from 7.5 to 8. Yeah. So the juiced 7.5s no longer exist. Now it's 8 flat or 8.5 in most places. So Ohio State money coming in right before kickoff. I don't, 10 seemed crazy.
Yeah.
7.5 teams seemed too short. So I'm not surprised we caught money at that 10 point or at the 7.5 point. Now we're going closer to kickoff here. The total, I'm surprised, has been more stagnant throughout this process. We haven't seen it adjust that much. I agree with you on Carson Beck. If he is a good version of Carson Beck, Miami should be able to keep this game relatively close. For him to be a good version, though, they need to be able to run the football. And this has been a Ohio State run defense that's been very stout all season long against a Miami offensive line that might be the best in the country. So the key here is going to be, can Miami run the football? If they can, it sets up the play action pass. It makes Beck's life a lot easier. That's something I'm going to be looking for early in this game, because if Miami has no semblance of a running game, I'm not sure how they move the football consistently against this Ohio State defense.
Ohio State, best defensive line in college football. I don't think anyone will disagree with that. As a whole, this defense has three very likely first rounders. Arvel Reese, Caleb Downs, Sonny Styles all seem to be showing up in most people's mock drafts. Of course, as you already know, Carnell Tate, the wide receiver, will also be a first rounder. So four likely Ohio State first rounders here in this game for them. A very, very incredibly talented team. The thing is with Julian saying, though, and Mike, I think that they were smart. They are going to be smart enough to make adjustments. I mean, this is a very, very good team, very good coaching staff. But if you do look at his statistics, like, he just doesn't throw the ball down the field. And that might be just because they didn't have to. They had such an awesome defense. You go down, you didn't have to score a ton of points to win games because they didn't give up anything all year long. But if you look, I mean, most of this stuff is like really close to the line of scrimmage. Very few like 20 yard throws down the field and all of that. And it does make you wonder, and I don't think they'll find themselves in this position necessarily, but it does make you wonder, should they find themselves in a 10 point deficit, you know, late third quarter, early fourth quarter, and they need to get some splash plays. There wasn't a ton of those from him. And again, you only do what you need to do to win games. And obviously they did that this year, but not a lot of that on his resume so far this year.
No, there's not. I will be interested to see this Ohio State offense now we've entered the playoff as well. Because last year we saw Ryan Day do the okey-doke where they were much more buttoned up. And then all of a sudden we saw this spread out offense. They were attacking downfield more aggressively. They have got the weapons on the outside. You mentioned Tate being a first round pick. Smith, very good out there. It's not like they can't throw the football downfield if they need to stretch the field. They've just chosen not to up until this point. So I will be fascinated to see if, you know, not just how this Miami offensive line does against this Ohio State defensive line, but does the Ohio State play calling, do they stylistically change again as we get into the playoff like we saw them do last year? Because that would give them another dimension here on offense that I think everyone believes they have in them. We just have not seen them actually use on the field.
You know, and you and I don't make any false claims that we are, you know, super crazy college football bettors throughout the course of the season and all of that. So it was a little bit interesting to me as I really kind of dug into this game to make sure that I had a good feel for everything. Mike, one of the things that stood out to me, which is also why I ended up taking the points when it was double digits, is so Miami averages like 30.1 seconds per snap, which is the ninth longest in the nation. Ohio State averages 31.7, which is the second longest in the nation. So this game, like, these teams play deliberate. It's almost as if they're both quarterbacked by Aaron Rodgers or whatever out there. So, I mean, again, this might reduce a possession or two in this game from a typical game because of how deliberate both of these teams play. And again, which just makes getting 10 points even that more valuable, in my opinion, anyway, with there being good defenses. Obviously, you would want variance in other situations. But for here, I think with as good as Miami's defense is and has played, that getting 10 in a game that might, you know, just evaporate a possession or two probably works in my favor as well.
Yeah, we just actually saw the total tick down a half point. So that kind of agrees with the overall statement that you're making there. Both of these offenses are a little more methodical when trying to move down the field. I got to ask you a question, Matt. And we have the segment coming up later, to tease or not to tease. I know we don't tease college football games. Like, that's a rule of thumb. The total's 40. It's 40.
Yeah.
This is a teasable football game. If you believe there's going to be right around that number of points scored. This is more like an NFL game than a college football game that's usually lined at 55, 60 points, right? Is Ohio State teasable here? Because they are teasable through the 7, the 6, the 4, and the 3.
It's very hard for me. We're talking about our, you know, our New Year's resolutions coming a little later in the show from a betting standpoint. I quit teasing college football games literally 20 years ago because I was doing it. I was actually doing it in my, you know, naive state of betting and whatnot. And so that was the thing that I have just cut out of my entire betting repertoire. So it'd be tough for me to do that considering I wouldn't do it myself, but I get where you're coming from. I mean, if we expect a defensive battle, if we expect this to be a low scoring game, then we're not expecting any sort of blowout here, but we do believe that Ohio State's the better team and Ohio State wins, then, you know, it all adds up if you are so inclined. It's just not anything I would do, not anything I do.
Look, fair. If you want action, there are worse things that you can do than just tease Ohio State here and pick a partner on NFL Saturday or NFL Sunday, because there are some teasable games coming up this weekend as well. It's going to be fascinating going through those with you too, because the information that has come out, who's going to play, who's not going to play, what are these teams playing for, it's just been, it's been interesting. It's been interesting to see the lines move along with that as well.
We got some bowl games earlier today. We will give you the results of those here on the other side. As Mike mentioned, we'll talk about games that we want to tease or not to tease. All of that still to come here in the show today. But Ryan McIntyre going to join us here, Moneyline Mac over on the Twitter machine. He's going to let us know how he is betting this game. Maybe we can get some picks out of him for the other games tomorrow as well. It is primetime here on VSiN.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Primetime here on VSiN, New Year's Eve edition. Matt Brown and Mike Somich, appreciate you guys being with us. Sirius Channel 158, our very own VSiN Watch app, YouTube TV, and terrestrial stations across this great country of ours. We're about 15 minutes away. I think it'll probably be like 22. Because we know how that the whole kickoff thing works in college football. But we'll call it 22 minutes away from Miami and Ohio State. And kind enough to join us here on New Year's Eve, Ryan McIntyre. Great follow over on the Twitter machine at @Moneyline_Mac, the Ryan and Rush show as well. Ryan, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, guys. Happy New Year. And can't wait for these games to kick off. It can't get here soon enough.
So Mike and I were talking a little bit earlier, and this thing, you know, got as high as 10, was actually sitting at 10, like I mentioned out here behind me. I know not everybody's in a Circa jurisdiction. I mean, as late as like maybe like 36 hours ago, it was still sitting at 10, down to 7.5 at a lot of the books, 8 still here at Circa. So we did get a lot of people come in and scoop up the number there on Miami. A little bit of pushback as we've seen this thing start to fluctuate back up to 8, 8.5, a little bit towards Ohio State. But are you surprised at all that Miami was getting the love there early on?
No, I thought it was too much to begin with. I know Miami dropped a couple games in ACC play, but they were really good in the non-con. They beat Notre Dame, they beat Florida, they beat South Florida. They were arguably the best team in the country at one point, everybody thought, after the month of September. So they just went on the road and proved that they're once again good in the non-con, winning at Texas A&M, controlling the line of scrimmage. I like the U still here, all the way down to 7. I think that this is going to be a one possession game. I like the under as well. I know you guys were talking about that as well. I think this is a dogfight. Both teams play slow, want to run the football, and I think both defensive lines will neutralize the game. I think the Buckeyes come out and win a close one, but I'm definitely going to be on the U getting more than a possession here. So give me something like a 17-13 Ohio State win here.
Yeah, you mentioned the total there. It's a total that opened up at 43.5. We're seeing it down as low as 40 now. The first half has been steamed down to 20 in a lot of places. Just a lot of under momentum here. Let's flip the script here. If this does go over, how does this game get pushed over? What are you looking for on the field if you do exceed, think the points could happen?
I think it would be a turnover variance game. I think maybe if Carson Beck has one of his games we've seen over the years, whether it's at Georgia or the Louisville game, where he just makes mistake after mistake and it sets up short field for Ohio State. I don't think – I know Julian Sain is a more inexperienced quarterback, but I think Ohio State is so direct and deliberate offensively running the football that they really – they put him in position to succeed. And those receivers are so good. So I don't think that he's going to make more than at most two mistakes. So I think if there's a blowout, I think it would be Ohio State blowing out Miami.
Ryan, we got Oregon and Texas Tech bright and early, at least for me out here on the West Coast at 9 a.m. my time. Noon over there for everybody else on the East Coast. This is sitting 2.5, a juice 2.5. So maybe we see some threes when we wake up in the morning. We'll see on the side of Oregon. 50.5 is the total in that one. I think there's some people out there wondering how is Texas Tech the dog in this thing? We saw this with Oregon and go out and they gave up so many points, Texas Tech, this and the other. Where do you land on this one?
I'm on the dog, another dog for me here. I think Texas Tech will win the game. I think Oregon is still a bigger name brand, and I think that's a reason why I think a lot of people will want to bet Oregon tomorrow. But Texas Tech is really good defensively, especially in the trenches. They're 12-0 with their starting quarterback. Their only loss was in Tempe this year when Baron Morton was injured and couldn't play that game. They went to Utah and won with the backup quarterback. They're just really good defensively. I think I like another under here, and this is an underrated body clock game. 9 a.m. start time for Oregon, having this game in Miami at Hard Rock Stadium versus just 11 a.m. with Texas Tech. So I think both teams beat up on each other at the line of scrimmage. I think it's kind of similar to this Ohio State-Miami game in terms of the strength of both these teams is on the D-line. But I like Texas Tech to get it done here in advance of the semifinals.
1 o'clock Pacific, 4 o'clock Eastern tomorrow. We've got the Rose Bowl kicking off and what we could see rain for the first time there in the Rose Bowl since the 1960s. If we see consistent rain in that game between Alabama and Indiana right now, Indiana installed as a 7-point favorite, total sitting at 48. This is the largest dog the Tide have been in multiple seasons here. What do you like in this spot?
I am going to bet Alabama. I'm going to take the 7 with Bama. I've seen a lot of people. I don't really have the case laid out the blueprint of how I think that they can stay in this game. But I've just seen Kalen DeBoer in these playoff games, whether it was at Washington where they beat Texas outright. They beat Oklahoma in a true road game. He's already won at Georgia. He's really good as an underdog for whatever reason. So I like the Tide to stay in this game. I think we get a close one. Like you said, the rain, I think, neutralizes the explosive plays on both sides. And I think that they're hearing the noise, that they have no shot here. So I will hold my nose and get in front of this Cignetti train and fade the Mendoza post-game Heisman here.
Talking to Ryan McIntyre at Moneyline_Mac over on the Twitter machine as well. Closing things out tomorrow will be Ole Miss and Georgia. This is 6.5 in favor of Georgia, a 55.5 point total here in this one. Ole Miss, I know they know who their new coach is going to be and he's there and the offensive staff is still there and all that, but there is the factor that the guy that got him there is gone and now they're going to play Georgia, who I think is maybe still a little underrated. What say you?
I think Georgia's the best team in the country, actually. Ever since that Alabama loss, I think that they've really found their identity. Those dogs are really good defensively again. I think this could be the blowout. I think Georgia rolls here. Kirby's smart in these second meetings when he sees an offense the first time through. Last year, they really gobbled up Texas in the rematch there in the SEC title game. We saw what they did to Alabama in the second meeting a couple years ago against Saban. He beat him in the natty after losing to him in the SEC title. So Kirby's really good with these adjustment games. He's already seen this Ole Miss offense, and you already kind of mentioned it. Lane Kiffin's not there anymore. Mm-hmm. They got the one game bump without him, rally around the interim coach. I think this is the one the Dogs win by double digits to make a statement. And Lane will be Lane, and he'll be in the stadium trolling with the Louisiana governor in the home state.
Right now, Ohio State installed as your favorite at +190 to win it all. Georgia at 4.5 to 1. Now, you said you think they're the best team in football. Are they the team that you're interested to bet to win the Natty at that +450 price?
Yes. Yeah. I think Kirby is as good a coach in this college football playoff. They I know they dropped the game against Notre Dame last year, but that was Gunnar Stockton's first road start in his career. So, and I think that they come in with a little bit of a chip going out the way that they did with Notre Dame kind of controlling the line of scrimmage in that game. So I like Georgia in a potential rematch of what was a great semifinal game between them and the Buckeyes a couple years ago. I just think that they're the most complete team. They're peaking at the right time. And yeah, I do like the Dogs to win it all. If I wanted a long shot, I like Texas Tech, man. I think that this Texas Tech team is the real deal. They just kind of are in the Big 12. So I think everybody's a little bit hesitant to completely buy into them.
Ryan, you watch as much college football as anybody, handicap every single one of these games. It's not the only bowl games that are left. We still have a few more. Is there anyone that that you like, actually? Have you bet any of these games that will, you know, some people will pay attention. Guys like you are going to pay attention to. I'm not going to watch them, but you're going to watch them.
Oh, yeah. If there's games on, you know I'm going to be watching it. And the FCS National Championship's on Monday, so can't wait for that one. But the one I like, because we got, four games on Friday, January 2nd. I really like Arizona. I've been on this team all year in a bounce back, a year two of Coach Brennan there. No Fafita. I think that there's a lot of motivation here to get win number 10 and really finish this thing the right way. And SMU, they struggled when they got out of ACC play this year. They actually lost to both Big 12 teams that they played. So I'll be on the Arizona Wildcats here laying the 2. I think they win by field goal or more. And yeah, like you said, 90% of this is just trying to navigate who's going to be the motivated team right in these crazy bowl games.
Well, I appreciate the time here. He's Ryan McIntyre, co-host of the Ryan and Rush Show at @Moneyline_Mac over on the Twitter machine. Thank you for delaying your festivities for the evening. Go pop you a cocktail, my friend. Happy New Year, and good luck on all the bets.
I will, and I'll have a couple for you guys, and Happy New Year, and look forward to seeing you again.
Absolutely.
Cheers,
appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
Guys, this is the last week that you can take advantage of our special to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Everything we do now to May the 1st for just $79 out there. So you're going to get all the betting guides that we do, that we put out between now and May the 1st. Every single tent pole event, we put out a betting guide for. So that's worth the price of admission right there. The daily best bets, you get this betting split, you get the matchup tool. You also get all of the prop projections that we have over there for NFL and NBA as well. So go in, VSiN.com/subscribe. Everything we do now until May the 1st, it is just 79 American dollars. When we come back, we will give you the final line here in this game, what the total is going to be, and then all the NFL news and notes you need to know before you bet week number 18.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Primetime here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown and Mike Somich. It is, I lied. We're still 10 minutes away from kickoff. They do this every time. So we're still 10 minutes
probably
away.
Probably have another segment.
Yeah, so like we'll tell you at the end of the segment what this thing kicks off at. But as of right now, 7.5 at most places. If you're in a Circa jurisdiction, it is 8. But Mike, you were right about the total. A move at most places, everywhere except FanDuel is down to either 39 or 40. FanDuel, the only one still hanging the 40.5. So there is at least some consistent money still towards the under.
Yeah, been a big under move really from the start here. We talked about how we saw Miami float up to as high as 10 and then get bet back down. The under opened at 43.5. That thing has gone nothing but down since we've seen this game open up. You mentioned now we're seeing 39.5s in market, 40.5 right now, the high total in market. The first half under has been steamed pretty aggressively down as well. That opened at 22. We've now seeing that as low as 19.5 in some places. So a lot of movement toward the under here as we've gotten closer and closer to kickoff.
And again, we're We're still 9 minutes from kickoff, so we'll let you know towards the end of the segment where we ultimately end up as this thing gets going. I did play Miami. You don't care what I have, so the number is irrelevant. So at this point, it's kind of a pass for me, Mike. I guess if anything now, if I wanted the Miami side, I'd probably just forego and just play the money line or something, because such an incredible difference between 10 and 7.5 that I'd probably just play them on the money line and move on.
Yeah, I was part of the under push. I played under 20.5 first half. I think that if you can get it under 20 first half, I would still be interested in taking a piece of that. To me, this is just a game where you're going to find out real fast if Miami's offense is going to be able to run the football. If they can't, it's going to be difficult for Miami to consistently score in this game. I think Miami's defensive line is going to be tough enough for Ohio State not to be able to just march down the field. I expect longer drives from both of these teams if they both have success. So I do like the under, specifically in the first half. I don't want to deal with the wonky second half stuff that can happen when someone's forced to throw the football. I want to just focus on that first half and take under 20.5.
So over in the NFL, one of those weeks, right? I mean, it's an information week, if there ever was an information week, where we are having to listen. I mean, yeah, you got to sit by the Twitter machines if you want to catch the number before it moves, because it moves very rapidly as soon as a bit of information comes through. So we'll do our best to fill you in here on what we know as of Wednesday evening. Of course, things can always change. Big one here, though, because we know what the game means. It is the last game. It is for the division. And Mike, Lamar Jackson was a full participant on Wednesday. So actually, he had usually been taking Wednesdays off. I think this is kind of like to set a tone here, right, with the team. Like, he was taking Wednesdays off before he was even missing games. And now, after missing a game and being questionable here, heading into this one, he's like, no, I'm practicing in full, actually, on Wednesday. So I think this is kind of let the team know what they're up against this week, what this game means. And he wasn't sitting out here on a Wednesday. So Lamar Jackson, full participant on Wednesday. That game is sitting 3.5 in favor of Baltimore over Pittsburgh, a low total of 41.5. We got all over that one on Sunday night, fortunately, Sunday afternoon, on the underside of that one. But big news there for Baltimore. And if you're a Ravens fan, a Ravens backer, you got to love that, because I think with Lamar at quarterback, they're a better team than Pittsburgh.
He was always playing in this game. My bigger question is, what version of Lamar are we going to see play in this game? How, like, we've seen the ankle, we've seen the knee, we've seen all of these leg injuries compound upon each other and make him a very different quarterback than what he was last year and the previous year when he was in an MVP candidate, right? Now, what will this back do? How is this back going to affect his ability to move around? Is it like there was talks that he was likely to be able to play last week and they decided to keep him out to make sure he was 100% fresh for this game? I believe we're going to get a further hampered version of Lamar. I just don't think that things are magically going to get better. That forces me toward the 3.5. If this was 3, we talked about it. Like, 3 feels right to me. This should be a field goal game either way. When you flip on the other side of the 3.5, it's hard for me not to want to start to lean toward that Steelers side and put that in the account.
I think we get a 3. If you're wanting to back Baltimore, my guess is that TJ Watt is going to go. So the word today is that he wants to play and is trying to play. It's not official. You and I know, we've been doing this for years now. Until something's official, the public just doesn't act on it. It's a soft 3.5 anyway. I bet you we get to 3 when the TJ Watt news comes. And then if you want to back Baltimore, you can get the 3 then.
I agree. I do think we'll see a 3 at some point. I'm not sure how long it'll last, though. Baltimore has been a very popular team at the window the last 3 or 4 weeks. It feels like people still in the market believe that this Baltimore team is being a little bit undervalued, and we've seen game day money coming on them. I'm interested to see where it comes in this game. If it's going to be another push toward the Baltimore side, and all of a sudden we're sitting there and you're able to get a 4. You're able to get a 4.5 on Pittsburgh. Or if it is going to be, hey, TJ Watt's back, you've got a healthier version of the Steelers here now, that's where the money's going to flow to. I expect it's going to be toward the Ravens side, especially since we're not going to have some of the bigger offensive weapons here for Pittsburgh. Metcalf obviously out. You're missing Darnell Washington. I think there's going to be more and more Baltimore money as this comes in. So if the threes do hit, I think they hit for a very short period of time.
The Eagles are going to rest Jalen Hurts and other starters in this game. And with that, this thing plummeted, Mike. And I played 3.5 with Philly whenever this thing got to 3.5. It's back up to 4 now. So people decided that that was a little bit too much in a game against Washington that came out and said Marcus Mariota is not going to be able to go. So it's going to be Josh Johnson again for them. And let me tell you, Philly's backups, and you can't play all backups. There's going to have to be some starters just kind of intermittently spliced in here. You don't have enough people to play all backups. And so, man, at 3.5 against this team, with that defense still with Philly and all of that, like I thought we overreacted a little bit too much to that. And so I played the Eagles at 3.5.
Yeah, they don't really have many backups on the defensive line. So you're going to get basically the same defensive line that from Philadelphia that you'd usually see, which I think is a big key to their overall defensive abilities. The offensive line, my guess is there's no Lane Johnson. You're probably going to have Dickinson sit out. Yeah. Certain guys like that that are key pieces that are fighting injuries and anyway.
McKee's looked fine when he's been in there. Like Tanner McKee's looked fine.
That's the thing. You probably still have the better quarterback in this spot. Right. Your wide receiver room, let's say you I don't see you sitting AJ Brown for the entire game. Let's say you sit him for part of the game. You still got Devonta Smith. You've got Dotson. There's enough weapons here that Philadelphia, the drop here, I don't think is necessarily validated based on who will still be out there. And the fact that we're not going to see Mariota, who would have given Washington the better quarterback in this game had it been McKee versus Mariota.
Yeah. The Chargers are going to sit Justin Herbert and some other starters as well. That just ballooned this thing out to 12.5 in favor of Denver, who still has stuff to play for. It's the right move by the Chargers. I don't blame them. I mean, Herbert has been battling through all kinds of stuff all year long. They've had nicks and cuts and bruises and all of that on multiple different positions this season. And so, look, if you can get the guy some rest before you head in the playoffs, that's what matters anyway, not this week 18 game against Denver. So, kind of is what it is. I think it's the right move. And now we've got nearly a 2-touchdown game.
Yeah. Kudos to everybody who bet this Broncos -3 last Saturday before the Chargers lost to Houston. That was the time. That was the number, right? Now we're sitting here at 12.5. It's Broncos or pass for me, but I'm not going to try and make a case for them. This is too big of a number at this point. The offensive line for the Chargers is so atrocious. And the Broncos are going to want to win this football game, so they're going to try and win by margin. If anything, it's a first half for me, where you just want to focus on Broncos in the first half. If they get up, they may start sitting starters as well. Just focus on where you know they're going to be motivated to play well. So Broncos first half or pass for me here, but not when I'm running to the window.
Saturday afternoon, Seattle, San Francisco. George Kittle said just this afternoon, Mike, before we came in, that he will absolutely play this week.
Of course he will. He's George Kittle, man. Yeah. The lock's got to be out there. This is a huge game for San Francisco here, trying to wrap up the one seed in the NFC, trying to wrap up the NFC West. I'm excited to talk about this one with you. More than any other game that we're going to discuss this week, I want to talk about this one with you because I want to see if we're simpatico or if we're going to go head-to-head here in this spot, because I do have a bet from this game that I am fairly confident in.
Bunch of backup quarterbacks. Riley Leonard is going to go for the Colts. We just mentioned Josh Johnson is going to go for the Commanders. Geno Smith has a high ankle sprain. He's going to miss. So it's actually going to be Kenny Pickett and Aiden O'Connell. So basically, they took the podium today and said Kenny Pickett's going to start, but Aiden O'Connell will likely get reps. And so we'll get the old dual quarterback situation. You know what they say when you have two quarterbacks, Mike, you don't really actually have one.
You got two good quarterbacks.
Yeah, one at all. So Raiders, again, it's a tankathon. They're trying to lose this thing as they should. Guys, ProfitX, an exchange out there that you can go in and take advantage of a 20% match up to $100 in bonus cash right now. Go in, ProfitX, download ProfitX, use promo code VSIN, V-S-I-N, available in 40-plus states out there. Again, a 20% match up to $100 in bonus cash when you sign up. ProfitX, promo code VSIN.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Primetime here on Beast Matt Brown and Mike Somich. We did kick off, and in a blink, we already have the ball back to Ohio State. A quick three and out for Miami. They punt it back. It was good punt coverage. Returner only got a yard or two there on that one. Ohio State took over about the 26-ish yard line, something like that. So, Micah, on the Miami side of things, not an ideal start, but we'll see what the defense can do here as they will be facing a 3rd and 7 right now in this opening drive for Ohio State.
Yeah, two drives that have mirrored each other in a way. We saw a first down run for 3 yards for Ohio State. Miami decided to run the football on second down for 3 yards. The first down play for Miami, not a great throw from Carson Beck. The second down play there from Ohio State, not a great throw from Sain. We'll see if they're able to convert here on third down. I expected more from Carson Beck. Like, he is the one thing where I'm coming into this as a Miami fan. Like, we've got the quarterback who's at least been here before. He's going to deliver the football where he needs to be. That first drive, a little bit of a concern for me.
Guys, in about 15 minutes, we'll have RotoWire's Brandon Kravitz join us for his best week 18 bets. We get a sack, a big, big 10, 12-yard sack there by Miami. So they will be punting the ball. Ohio State will be punting the ball back to Miami here in this one. So we said the defenses might win the day. The under was getting steamed, and so far so good, at least here for that one. Now, Mike, we are heading into 2026. You guys on the East Coast a little bit sooner than us out here on the West Coast, but we're going to look towards some New Year's resolutions from a betting standpoint here in 2026. A real quick update from some ones that I put in for 2025. Did this exercise last year, and one was not to make a single soccer bet. Succeeded. Did not make a single soccer bet in 2025. So there we go. 0 for 0. I mean, 0%. There we go. It's good. I reallocated some bankroll to golf from non-NFL sports. I did that as well this year. Started putting a little bit more money in play over in golf, taking a little bit out of my NBA pool, a little bit out of my Major League Baseball pool. Did work out in 2025, try to figure out if that's something I'm going to continue here in 2026. And the other thing was just to have a little bit more fun betting. I'd gotten to the point where things had really just become like everything was a grind and everything had to be perfect and all of that. And honestly, I guess I can almost thank the books out here for updating their apps and giving us same game parlays and different things like that, to where, like, if I just want to have a bet and have some fun, you know, have some action on something, and I can just actually place a fun bet now, Mike. And so, did have a little bit more fun with betting as well, but looking forward to stuff here in 2026. Why don't you kick things off here? What's some of the stuff you're going to try here in 2026?
Yeah, look, betting is supposed to be fun. That should be the number one result. Everyone out there, if you're betting, make sure you enjoy what you're doing here. If you're not, then you know, maybe chill out a little bit and figure out why. For me, number one thing, I need to bet more props to the under. I had a very good run. Like, one of the things we talk about is track yourself. Make sure you list every single bet, then separate them out. Under props, over props in the NFL, props versus sides versus totals in the NFL, sport versus sport, to figure out where you are strong, where you are weak. I don't look for unders as much as I should, specifically inside the NFL prop world. It's sexier to bet the over and then ladder it. It is more fun to bet the over and ladder it. I am more profitable betting the unders. It's just that simple. Like, I go back and I look through it. I only bet about 20 unders through this entire football season. I went 16-4 on those 20 bets, Matt. I'm not going anywhere near that. Now, it's small sample size. No way in the world that always that ends up being my percentage betting the unders, but significantly better than what I did playing the overs. I need to look at unders more often. I need to focus and say, hey, what are your favorite unders here? Take some more time to look at these versus just looking at the upside players in the NFL.
Anyone that's played poker kind of will understand. Michael certainly understand. Anyone that's come from that will understand where I'm going with this a little bit. And it is does not mean get irresponsible, and it does not mean go outside of your means or go outside of where you should be. But I'm going to try in 2026 to just put a little bit more bankroll behind strong convictions, like take a little bit more shots. And, like, you know, in poker, you're playing 2-5 and you've been winning at 2-5 for a while. And it's like, you know what? At some point I got to try 5-10, right? And you got to take a shot. And, like, you go up, you take a shot at 5-10. If you win there, maybe you play 10-20. So I've been having a decent couple of years, but I've been basically staying at the same, right? I mean, I bet the same level, and I don't always bet. I'm not a one unit better. I'm not like that guy. I'm only going to bet a unit, or I'm only going to bet whatever. But what I haven't done, Mike, is kind of like when I really, really like a game, step it up and kind of like bet three times what I would normally bet. Right. You know, like I haven't really done that here the last 5 years.
Get a little uncomfortable.
Yeah. And it's just, it's one of those things where I think I'm going to try when I have very strong convictions. This is not like something's going to happen on a week to week basis. This is like, you know, three or four times a year, I absolutely love something. And a lot of times it pans out and I just sit back and I go, man, you had that conviction and you didn't really lean into it. And so I'm going to try to identify those and maybe lean into those a little bit more here in 2026.
I like that one, Matt. Mm-hmm. And I get it from the poker reference there. Every now mm-hmm. and then you got to take your shots, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes you have to figure out, okay, what games do I love? And am I willing to take that shot? Can I step outside of my comfort zone and be able to take that chance? I am going to mimic one of yours from last year, where you said you're not going to make a soccer bet all year long. Mm. I'm done with the NBA. I am not going to bet the NBA. I am out. I don't want player props. I don't want points, assists, rebounds. I don't want totals. I don't want sides. And I want to take that NBA money and I want to move it to the NHL because mm-hmm. I have consistently done well in hockey and I've not limited up inside yeah. of hockey. So I have different unit sizes depending on the sport, football, NFL specifically, my biggest unit size. But after that, baseball, hockey, NBA was all about the same.
Yeah.
I need to eliminate NBA. I need to move up hockey because that is where I'm consistently doing better and doing worse. I'm not good at the NBA. I'm good at hockey. Let's take that money. Let's move it over here. So no more NBA for me. And we'll start limiting up hockey as well to use that NBA money from last year.
Yeah. One of the things I'm going to do this year is try to find a pathway to more efficiency. And, you know, one of the joys of doing this job, I enjoy the research part of it. I really do. And you know, Mike, we get clowned on and people hate on us on Twitter and all that stuff and like that. And you can fade the bets that I make. You can do whatever, but I promise you, nobody puts in more time than I am putting in an incredible amount of time into the research, into all of this and all of that. And like, while that is a good thing, I also think it's a bad thing as well. You know, I mean, I've got to figure out efficiency processes. I've got to figure out how that I can, I don't know, utilize AI or something to help me with some of these things or whatever, because, you know, the long days and the long hours and things like that do, I think, start to get me to a point where maybe I'm not seeing some of these other things that I could be betting or some of these other avenues that I could be taking. And I've kind of gotten in this routine over the last while that, I don't know, maybe I just got to shake things up a little bit. So with all of that. And so I'm not saying I'm not going to research as hard. I'm saying like, I've got to figure out how to be more efficient in all of the research that I feel like I need to do in order to be a successful sports bettor.
2026, the year of Matt Brown being lazy. I'm in. I like it. Just find ways to cut corners. Do everything you can. I'm down.
You
with it.
Know what
last
I mean.
One for me here. Yeah, I do know what you mean. You do work your tail off. Mm-hmm. You do all the research. I give you props for all of that. Mm-hmm. The one thing that I've focused on inside college basketball that I need to change. I stink at the NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. I've not been good at the NCAA tournament for like two straight years now. I've been very good in conference college basketball mm-hmm. and the college basketball conference tournaments. I need to stop betting the same amount on the regular season and mm-hmm. the college basketball conference tournaments that I am on the NCAA tournament. The NCAA tournament needs to be lower leveraged for me. It's very simple. I think it's much harder to handicap the NCAA tournament than it is to handicap conference games where you've seen teams play each other or have like-to-like opponents where you can easily come up with a number on those type of games. So for me, play the college basketball regular season the same way. Play those conference tournaments the same way. Just because it's the NCAA basketball tournament, just because it's March Madness, doesn't need to mean my unit size has to be the same as it was where I'm having success, because I do think there's a lot more variables at play inside March Madness.
Yeah, my final one is figure out a way to get into Grandissimo next year. You know, I think it's going to be a super interesting tournament. I think the strategy is a little bit different. I think the strategy fits me a little bit better, maybe, than just regular Circa Survivor. I'm fortunate enough to, I'm not going to buy an entry solo, but I'm fortunate enough to have a bankroll to where if I can find a couple of people who want to go in with me or something like that, we can partner up and get an entry. But I think that it's one of those things where it might just fit my style, Mike, a little bit better than regular Survivor. Not that I'm not going to play regular Survivor. Obviously I will, but you know, just finding the path, finding the path into that one where, you know, you really are kind of like playing it a little bit more straight, but there is strategy along the way, trying to figure out like how long you think this is going to go, how far do we have to go, what teams we need, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm going to try to find my way into Grandissimo next year.
We got to get one of those poker sites like stakedme.com, right? Put half of a Grandissimo entry out there, get the half staked, and then come up with the other half yourself.
Guys, you know where we bet horses. It's over at FirstBet, FirstBet.com or the FirstBet app. Head in, VEASAN 250, and you're going to want to put that in because that is better than the stock offer, up to $250 in sign-up bonuses over there at FirstBet. That is FirstBet.com or the FirstBet app, VEASAN 250, your promo code.